when I shared that message, praying potent prayers, I'm sure at some point that in that message, I said a statement, something along the lines of, the battle is won in prayer. And there's phrases like that that I love. I love catchphrases. Like one that I use often in the past, sometimes here, is the best is yet to come. Because I believe that. I believe that there's still the best of what God wants to do with us if we're faithful to walk closely with Him, if we're faithful to obey Him, if we're faithful to trust Him. Still the best yet to come for us, but there's ultimately the best yet to come for all believers in that we get eternity with God forever in paradise. That is the ultimate best that's yet to come. So we have something like that. Then there's other phrases. One that I use regularly around here is that every life matters to God, or we say it, you matter to God. Because every life matters, every soul matters, every person matters. And so the phrase I like to use is every life matters to God and should matter to us too. Or on our website, it says every life matters to God and I think something like you matter to us too. Basically, we love people and y'all do, which is awesome. So there's phrases like that. There's another phrase that you'll hear me use a lot. It's make lifetime followers of Jesus. And so I have all those different phrases that I use, which are fun to use. They take everything and they just simplify it into a great little package for us to think about. Another one that I use that's really critical for us as an organization is if we don't grow, we die. So there's those phrases. But better yet, what I really love is how in the Bible, Solomon beat us all to a lot of the short phrases in that the biblical writers pull together Solomon's one-line sentences and then some other wise people's one-line sentences into the book of Proverbs. So we have these short, concise statements that really just summarize a principle for us to get into our hearts and into our lives. And so in my daily devotional and prayer time, I regularly like to read through Proverbs. Now, one of the great things about Proverbs, if you're familiar with it, is there's 31 chapters in Proverbs, and coincidentally, six times a year, there's 31 days in the month. And so you can just read a proverb chapter coinciding with the day of the month, so it helps you with your devotional plan. So if you're struggling with your devotional life, I would encourage you. Tomorrow is the 21st of October, so read Proverbs 21. So I love Proverbs, and one of my favorite Proverbs that's really I try to live by, I try to practice. In fact, somebody recently asked me, why do I smile all the time? Well, my wife caught that when we were dating, and I just responded, I'm a laugher. I like to laugh. I do not love being serious. At some point, I blame my dad for this, I will at some point probably say something funny or sarcastic or something to lighten the mood. That has gotten me in trouble a few times when my wife and I are having a discussion and I choose to change the conversation because I don't like the tension. But there's a part of me, I don't like to be serious all the time, but I like to smile. I like to lighten up. And it's the reason is I've really pushed this proverb I'm going to share with you today, Proverbs 4:23. I've just applied this to my life. And Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Or, and if we'll step back, if you'll zoom out, if you will, if you're looking at it with a camera, if you'll zoom back and catch the context of it in chapter 4, starting at verse 20, and I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. It says this, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't you wish your kids were like that when they were growing up? If you could just say, pay attention to what I'm saying, if they actually would, because how many times through the years have you had to have that conversation again and again and again with your kids? And I wouldn't even be surprised now, as many of you have adult children, you're still circling all the way back to, if you would have just listened to what I told you, then you would have avoided all this. But the writer, Proverbs goes on, don't lose sight of them, let them penetrate deep into your heart. So this writer's like, I have something important to tell you. Don't just be like, whatever, because a lot of times there's very important things that come at us, and we're just like, whatever, we let it just go right past us. He's like, no, what I'm about to say, let it get deep down into you. Let it get close to you. Let it be something you think about. Let it be something you contemplate. Let it be something you put into practice. So he says, let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. And then he goes on, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. One thing I should take extremely seriously, no matter what stage of life I am in, is to guard my heart well. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, to keep is to guard. It's this, if you will, as the proverb person is sharing his proverb, as he's saying, keep your heart. It's to guard it. It's to watch or to protect your heart. It's to pay attention to any threats. It's to shield it from harm. Now, don't you wish we would have, you know, as you age, you would have taken that seriously about your physical heart diligently? To protect it from all harm, but even your metaphorical heart, that you would protect it from harm, that you would guard it, that you would shield it. And so he's saying that, shield your heart, guard your heart, protect it with all vigilance. With all vigilance is like if you were guarding an important prisoner you don't want to escape, or if you have something extremely valuable that you don't want tampered with or stolen, you are paying close attention to it with all vigilance. I mean, think about it. If you have a precious child, do you want a babysitter taking care of them that is vigilant on caring for your child or not vigilant? Because when you love it, you take your child there and you take it to the babysitter, and or the babysitter comes to your house or however that works, and you go about your life, and then you come back and it's like, how's my baby? And the babysitter's like, what baby? I don't know what's going on. Trust me, I had that conversation many times with my wife when she left and I was watching our children when they were younger. What are the kids doing? I don't know, we have kids, you know, would be my response. That was not vigilantly watching our children. And if you're a mom, you know how much that would frustrate you if your husband did that with your kids and you're like, I don't know. With all vigilance, I'm watching it, I'm protecting it, I'm caring for it, I'm making sure it's safe. Think about it from a football example. We're in football season. If you watch a football game, just flip it on today, even if you're not into sports, and watch a player as he grabs the ball and he begins to run. He's going to go a lot farther if he has people protecting him as he runs, or if he's out there by himself, most likely he's going to be taken out quickly. So guarding something, protecting it. My most valuable asset in my life is my heart condition. Why? Because it directly influences how I view life and how effective I am in life, no matter what stage of life I am in. Because think about it. How many people have you seen that started their faith journey just hungry for God, leaning into God, going after God with everything in them, and then over time, they just suddenly become bitter and cranky and uninvolved and detached and everything else. And you're like, what happened? You were doing so well over here. How come now we just go into the future and we get over here? What happened to you? Probably they didn't guard their heart. My heart directly influences how I view life and how effective I am in life. In the Bible, the heart represents the core of who I am. It represents my inner self. It represents my intellect, the issues involving my mind. It reflects my emotions, how I feel about things. It represents my will or my desires, my motivation, my purpose, my resolve, or my ability to choose. So when you read heart, you're going beyond just thinking about the little organ inside my body that's pumping blood, and that is a very critical thing. But it's also representing the core of who I am when I read the Bible. So when he's saying, guard your heart, he's saying, guard the very core of who you are. Guard that. It's important. My heart thinks and feels, it remembers and desires, it chooses a course of action. My heart or my heart condition is impacted by what I think about, what I talk about, what I look at, and where I go or what I experience. My heart's critical. The core of who I am is critical. I mean, think about it. What is something that you would protect at all costs? When Leah Beth and I were dating or newlyweds, her parents own a lake house off Lake Hamilton in Hot Springs, Arkansas. And when you go on the lake, it's great because everybody has these very well cared for houses along the lake, and you know, they have their boat docks out front and boat ramps, and everybody's out there having fun on the water. But if you step back a street or so off of the lake, it's just people that are living near a lake. And so one late afternoon, we go and take a walk, and we're walking around all these little neighborhoods, and there's some interesting folk that were living there. We walked by one house, and it was somebody that had a very great love of dogs. And so we walk by the house, and there's a 6-foot-high chain link fence that goes all the way around their house. And there had to be about 30 dogs that were living in that yard. And so as we're walking by, the dogs are running everywhere. In fact, not only were they running all around the yard, they were actually jumping through windows, running through the house and everything else. And so it's one of those moments that you're like, wow, we are in a totally different universe, when right over there we can see the lake. And right here, it's like a totally bizarre thing. So we're walking by that. We're just laughing. My wife's like, can you imagine the mess that it would take just to clean that house of 20 or 30 dogs running all the time, in the house, out of the house, through the yard, everything? It was a mess. So we're doing that. We just keep walking. We're walking around. We get further away from the lake house, and we turn towards the street to kind of head back. We start walking up a hill. As we get to the top of a hill, there was another individual that also had a love for dogs. However, differently, this individual decided that he did not need a fence for all of his dogs. So as we're walking up the street, we see the dogs barking, they're yapping, they're doing everything else. The unfortunate part is, as we get closer, the dogs decide that invisible barrier that is keeping them out of the street, basically nothing, is not keeping them from coming out to us. And so all the dogs come out and they start swarming around us as we're walking, and they're barking and they're yapping and they're doing everything else. So that gets you a little bit nervous, because you're like, these dogs are getting close because they're just yapping and doing all that. And then to make it even more concerning is, as we get right in front of the house, the big bear, the big alpha dog, is there. And it was a massively mean looking dog. And it's just like barking pure hatred. As we are walking up there, it is just, you could see the hatred in its face. And it is the only dog that is chained. And so I'm looking at the dog as he is like doing everything he can to get out into that street to basically have a snack. And so he's like doing everything. He's just like, he's pushing. You can see the muscles ripping in his body. You can see that chain super tense. I'm looking at the collar on his neck straining as the chain goes back to this tree that doesn't look quite big enough to restrain this dog that is angry. And I'm watching that happen. And then the dogs are coming out. And I'm thinking, if that dog gets free, we're dead. And so we're just kind of walking. We're like, what do we do? And at that moment, I'm like, the most important thing for me to do is not to protect me, it's to protect her. And so she's like, what do we do? And I'm like, you walk ahead. I'm like, you get out of this mess. I will walk slow so they pay attention to me. And the whole time I'm watching the big alpha dog, seeing what he's going to do. Because at some point, I'm like, if I have to throw myself on the ground to be a snack so that she can be free, I will do that. Now, I'm not thinking about the consequence. I'm just like, she has to be safe. Leah Beth has to be in the clear. She's the most important thing to me. So I will protect her at all costs. Thankfully, that chain did not snap, and I did not have to follow through on belly flopping on the ground and just be like, here, dogs, eat me. I'm glad I didn't have to do that, but are you that diligent to guard your heart? Are you that diligent? I mean, look at some of the other Proverbs and what they say about the heart. Proverbs 12:15, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. 14:30, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. 15:13, a happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. 18:12, before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. 28:14, blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Now, here's the thing we have to consider. The core of who I am, my heart, is a big thing. One of the things we have to realize is what goes on in my heart or my mind is not hidden from God. Jeremiah puts it this way in 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct, according to what their deeds deserve. I mean, I can't hide who I am from God. He knows who I am. That on one hand, that is very humbling because I'm not hidden from God. He can examine who I am. He knows what's going on in my heart, in my life. He knows that. That part's scary because it's like, ooh, God, I don't know if you really needed to pay attention to that thought pattern. God, I don't know if you really needed to pay attention. On the other hand, it's very encouraging. God knows me. He knows who I am, so then, therefore, I can trust him to take care of me because I'm like, God, you know who I am. You know what's going on. You know what I'm thinking. You know what I'm feeling. Here I am. So in one way, it's scary because God knows who I am. On the other way, it's encouraging because God knows who I am, and I can be really honest and intimate with him because he knows who I am. It's because the heart represents the core of who I am, my personality and so forth, that God looks at it rather than my actions to see whether I am faithful or not. It's easy to outwardly fake actions, even though inwardly we completely feel different. So I'm not hidden from God, but if we'll be honest, what is in my heart or my mind is not hidden from people either. It will eventually come out. Because my words ultimately reveal my heart condition. It's why I choose to apply this proverb to my life so that I regularly have a smile, so that I'm regularly joyful. I had a coworker once in one of the engineering places I worked at. I would just walk around with my smile and he would see me regularly because he was on the opposite end of the spectrum where he had a frown all the time on his face. He was typically always crabby and ugly to people. And he would just walk up to me and be like, what's wrong with you? What's going on? Why are you smiling? What did you do? What's going on? And it was always negative. And I'm just like, nothing. I'm just living my life. Mark 7:20, and he, Jesus, said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him, for from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Matthew 12:34, you brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I mean, three principles, if we were just to step back, three really good principles to live by in my life are: one, love God with every part of who you are. That's a good way to deal with the core issues of who I am, just love God with everything in me. It's really hard to love God with everything in me and then have a part of me that is held back from him because I'm loving him with everything. So I'm allowing those compartments to all be his. When Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, when he said all, he used the word holos, H-O-L-O-S is the word he would have spoke to them, and it means all, complete, no compartmentalization. So when Jesus says all, he means every single bit of it. It's not the when your kids borrow $20 from you and they're like, I want all the money back that you don't use. And they're like, they only spent a dollar, so they have $19 left and they don't bring all of it back to you. They're like, well, I spent all of it. No, you didn't. You spent $1 of it. Where's my change? God wants us to love him with all of our heart. So if there's an important principle to live by, it's love God with every part of who you are. The second is live to make God known in whatever context he places you. It doesn't matter. Your context through life changes. Your place in life changes, but your mission does not. The audience, the people that you're around might change. The things that you can do with how your body's changed, how everything's changed in your life, that might change, but your mission of making Jesus known and of making lifetime followers of Jesus has not changed. So make God known in every context you find yourself. Just make him known. And then if there's a third, guard your heart always. Guard your heart always. Your relationship with God, your effectiveness in life, everything is interconnected with how well you guard your heart. It's easy for us to avoid physical life-threatening danger, but we seemingly don't take seriously enough avoiding dangers to our own heart. When Carson was 2.5 years old, it was about this time of year, we lived in O'Fallon, and the street we lived on had one little street light. It was kind of dark, and so we're getting out of the car, and instead of Carson turning towards the house, he ran out into the street. And the street we lived on was this super long straightaway that people like to use it to cut over to a big subdivision on the other end, and so they would get on the street, and they would just fly down the street. And so as Carson goes running out there in the dark, as the streetlights barely touching him, we look in the distance and we see a car flying down the road as we see the headlights. And so my response was not, I want to see how this plays out. What is Carson gonna do? Will he jump up in the air as the vehicle comes and do kind of some cool somersault movie theatrical trick? Will he just walk all the way to the other side of the street? Will he look like a deer caught in the headlights and just stand there and stare? You know, will my son, suddenly we find out he has actual superpowers and laser vision's going to come out of his eyes? You know, none of that. I didn't sit there and just be like, okay, let's just see how this plays out. Let's just see what happens. I did not. My response was screaming his name and running to him and swooping him up in his arms and running back to our driveway. At all costs, I was going to get Carson out of danger. Now, in reality, the car was still far enough away that there was plenty of time for him just to turn and walk back, but I wasn't going to take any chances. He was too, and still is too important to me to allow him to be roadkill. So I rescued him at all costs. I pulled him out of the situation. But somehow we don't take it that seriously with the core of who we are. We don't always guard what we see, what we say, what we think, what we listen to, what we experience. We don't always take that seriously. And so we allow heart killers in there. We allow things like envy, lust, jealousy, imaginations and delusions and unforgiveness and bitterness and revenge and other things just to sit there and take room in our hearts. And not realizing that out of the heart, everything flows. So it's all flowing through that. We forget that just like our physical heart, our the core who we are, our spiritual heart is the same way that small things over time have a dramatically big impact on who we are. We forget how allowing bitterness and unforgiveness and envy and lust and jealousy and delusions and all these different things to just sit there, how much that just begins to clog up the core of who we are. We need to take as seriously, if not more seriously, what we do with our hearts as we would with our physical lives. The most important thing, one of the most important things I can do with my life besides having a personal relationship with Jesus, and if you find yourself here today and you don't have a personal saving relationship with Jesus, today's the best day just to say, Jesus, please forgive me for the mess that I am. Please come into my life and change who I am. Please help me to live for you. Please help me to walk with you. Please help me to know you. I mean, that's the best decision, the best thing you can ever do with your life. But, you know, after that, after I begin to walk with God, after I begin to know him, the next best thing I can do is really learn to guard my heart and life well. Guard my heart. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Because not only is it good for me, and it's really good for me, but it protects those around me from any destructive collateral damage caused by the sinful actions of an unguarded heart. So not only are you taking care of yourself, you're actually taking care of everyone around you. Because when they deal with you, when they interact with you, they're not dealing with a mess. They don't have to worry about what's going to blow up or what's going to happen. You're protecting them as well. Ephesians chapter 6, you know, Paul's writing this and he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. And then he jumps to 14. Stand firm then, and with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of Christ. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How do I protect myself? How do I protect who I am? How do I protect my heart? One is put on the armor of God. I'm going to allow the word of God to protect me. I'm going to allow my faith in God to protect me. I'm going to allow the principles of God that have come into practice in my life to protect me. It's going to protect my heart. How do I guard my heart? Be careful what I let into it and be careful what I allow it to do. Protect my heart. I'm careful what I put into it. Just like many of you, many of us have to be careful what we put in our mouths because of how it goes through our whole systems and affects this right here. The same way should be with our lives. I'm careful what I put into it with how it affects the core of who I am, with how it affects my mind and my thought patterns and my actions. And then I not only protect what I allow into it, I just protect what I allow it to experience and where I allow my heart to go. Why? It's so critical. Because out of my heart, the core of who I am affects my whole life. It affects my relationships with people. It affects how effective I am at everything that I do. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. And not kind of guard your heart. Guard your heart with all vigilance. Guard your heart as it's something priceless and precious and irreplaceable. And then watch what God will do when he has a heart that is just his. I mean, because I love it when Saul blew it as a king. He just, I mean, he was picked by God to be the king. He was picked by God to be the ruler, and he totally blew it because he would not guard his heart. And so God was put in a situation where I have to replace him because his heart condition affects everybody around him. So he picks David to be his replacement king. And what's he say about him? I'm picking him because he's a man after my own heart. And yeah, did he blow it at times? Absolutely. Did he mess up? Absolutely. But God used him mightily. And then not only did God use him mightily, God raised up some great individuals around him that God used them mightily as well. And then it's fun to read those. I mean, Mark Batterson wrote a book about 10 years ago about one individual, Benaiah, that, you know, instead of running away from a lion, ran into a lion that was trapped on a snowy day into a pit to take care of a lion. God had those kind of people surrounded David. So your heart condition also affects the type of people that are drawn to be around you. And then, man, can you imagine what God could do if he has your heart and then he draws like-minded people around you to be with you in that? What God could accomplish? Be amazing. So guard your heart.